Warning, the following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Hello!
Hello, hello.
Hello, so it's episode 199, and we're here with John Hartness.
Because I couldn't leave. They chained me in their fucking closet.
Yeah.
For <Do you? laughs> weeks. I've been out of the closet as a raving lesbian for 40 plus years, but I've been trapped in a closet for a week.
So you are here now for the Music Week episode. Dun, dun, dun. Which we were actually supposed to have like 2 weeks ago, but then snow.
But then snow.
Snowpocalypse. Yeah.
Snowpocalypse. Dun, dun, dun. The
2018.
The whole quarter inch of snow that we received.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We got 5 inches here.
Yeah. I know. Seriously. We got more than of
snow.
Inch,
of snow.
Yeah. It was gone the next day, though.
Really? Ours wasn't.
No. Ours was. Ours
yeah.
was
it's very like shady really here, so yeah, it was a good 3 days, I think.
We only, yeah. I think we got like 60. Less than 2 inches at my house, and it was gone the next day. And that's funny, because I don't live that far from here. I live like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But East Charlotte doesn't, I guess because we're closer to the center of town and a larger
clip. You're on the path.
Yeah. I don't know, but...
Yeah, no, we get about 5 inches here, a good 5 inches, and then because of the way that the cul-de-sac is, there was definite ice in the puddle in the middle.
I mean, I told my wife that it was 6 inches because it was really two, and that's just how I explain math.
Do you explain math with toilet paper roll?
That's how Irishmen do math, sweetie.
So make sure you go back and listen to episode 198, where John tells us how he's best friends with Whoopi Goldberg.
And we discussed toilet paper rolls.
Yes.
Far more than we ever should have.
Yeah. Yes, and about how he keeps secrets from me with my husband. But anyway.
Wait, no, well, that's a good tease.
I kept a secret from everyone. Matt kept a secret from you.
Yeah.
I like that clarification. Do you notice that he doesn't try to rescue at all? So the whole bro thing not happening. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a dick.
So this is the music episode.
It is. It's not the...
We're not going to sing for you, though.
Law. We
You're
used
welcome.
To.
You're welcome.
Yeah. That used to be our opening every time we would
no.
sing
oh,
some
not Moana.
Song.
Not Moana. Not Moana. I live oh, with no. a 5-year-old. No.
So
that would
wife.
Be a no for the soundtrack of Moana from Carol.
Oh.
No,
it's a great soundtrack. It's just not 50 times in a row.
Yeah. So for this week, we're actually, we listened to, we all as a group separately. How's that for wording? We all, for homework, listened to two CDs, two full albums. Mm-hmm. One was Valentine Wolf's Elegiac Repose, which was released last summer. And then the second one was The Fantastic Geeks and Where to Find Them by the Blibbering Humdingers. And that was released back in
January
of this past month. So
yeah.
January 1st, 2018.
Oh, that shit's new.
Yeah.
Brand new. So we're going to start by talking about Fantastic Geeks and Where to Find Them. This is a 13-track album.
Mm-hmm.
It has...
only feels like 12, though.
Right at the gate. So there are some instrumental numbers on it. There are also Blibbering Humdingers are made of Scott and Kirsten Vaughn, and they are both singing on it different times. Different ones of them take the lead, and then their son Liam plays on some of them, and then Chuck Parker, who's also with
Dimensional Rifts,
plays a bass and a lot of backing instrumentals on there. So, but everything else instrumentally is played by Scott Vaughn. So the vocals and the lyrics are by Kirsten Vaughn. The bass, electric guitars, and ukuleles by Chuck Parker. And the vocals, guitars, arrangements, drum programming, and everything else is by Scott. And then, of course, like I said, Liam plays on a few things and some other people. So what do we think? Tiffany, why don't I start with you, since I don't think you spoke on episode 198.
She said I said mega role.
Oh. I'm sorry.
We stand corrected.
If you're playing a drinking game where you're waiting for me to speak, you are sober. So.
Which puts you far behind everyone on this podcast.
Right. Yeah, astoundingly, even me.
Yes. I liked it. This is not something I would typically listen to. I am, as we all know, geek adjacent, so not really a geek. And so a lot of the, I mean, I did, you know, I know who Loki is, and I know who Rocket and Groot are, but like,
she knows who
most
Superman
of this,
is.
In terms of content, was over my head. So purely listening to it from a like
musical
standpoint, I enjoyed it. I liked the different types of music they did. I particularly like the influences. You know, I can't remember exactly which song, but there was one that was like Seven Army Nation.
Yeah.
Started
Seven
out
Nation
like,
Army. Yeah.
Yeah. Nation Army. Thank you. And I liked a couple of the songs quite a bit. So
which were your favorites?
I really liked Little Lego Loki. Okay. I thought that that one was really fun, but I liked the most Kiss in the Rain, which was sung by
Scott.
Seal. Scott.
Oh.
With background.
Different track.
And background vocals
sure
with Kirsten, but Scott
Batman.
Was the lead singer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, when I went to the link to listen to this, that was actually the first song that came up.
Oh.
I believe
enough,
they get to pick like sample track, and that's the one that's there. Yeah.
So I listened to that first, and then I listened to everything else sequentially, and then that at the end. And so, yeah, I like that song the most. I thought it was fun.
So Kiss in the Rain, Kowalski Skong, if you watch Fantastic Beasts, oh my God, I really didn't drink. If you watch
the
movie, I know, right? I had coffee. Such a bad decision.
Oh.
Fantastic Beast movie, Kowalski is the sidekick for Eddie Redmayne's yes. character.
I didn't even realize that till you said that.
But,
I haven't seen
so when they're talking at the end about the bakery, how he made all the little beasts in the bakery, but his mind has been wiped, spoiler alert. That's kind of what it's talking about. Were those characters really imaginable, or were they just things coming out of his mind to make
so this,
into little?
This album, you got a lot more of it than I did. This meant
yeah.
well, it's
yeah.
a whole other level for you than
yeah.
for me.
Well, but that's what's good, is that you still enjoyed it, even though a lot of the actual sci-fi references weren't necessarily top of mind for you.
I really did. I thought that it was really, really well done, and I thought that it was very clear. Like, it didn't, you know, it's not kind of talking about independent things. I mean, I'm assuming the Blibbering Humdingers aren't, like, you know, at Arista Records or Columbia Records
no.
or something like that.
You're
so,
thinking Rick Rubin did not produce this album.
Rick Rubin did not produce this. So, but
how
the,
about Don Was? Right.
I mean, it might have been some dude with an epic beard and no shoes, but it was not.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, but it sounded great. It really was like very high quality. So,
and for those of you who don't know, the Blibbering Humdingers is a wizard rock, is generally a wizard rock group. They are primarily Harry Potter focused, which is where the Fantastic Geeks come from, but this album has a lot of other influences as well as Harry Potter.
Sure. And then yeah. Scott himself before was Effenwald something. I'm bad at that.
Wizard rock.
Anything to do with
Harry Potter is
wizard rock.
That's like Harry Potter filk with amplifiers.
Basically, right. Yes.
Okay.
Right. And then like Time Lord rock is Doctor Who. So, like,
y'all don't have to have a subgenre for every goddamn thing.
We're geeks.
It can just be like electrofolk or whatever.
Nerdcore rock is fine. Nerdcore rap is a thing. Yeah. So,
oh, like those guys you had on episode 100.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love those dudes.
Yeah. Omega and
Swats.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, Carol. Now, I know it's a little odd for Carol and I because
we know
Scott and Kirsten, and you know Scott and Kirsten better than I do. I know them from the circuit, but you have known them
I've
a
actually
lot
signed them at conventions and contracted them.
So, Kirsten and Scott, before we even talk about anything, just know that we love you as people.
Yeah, we do.
We're reviewing an album is always tricky. It's kind of like reviewing a book, John. We might
I don't review books. I don't know what
we might or might not have done that to you last time. So anyway,
I will say that although I am a huge Harry Potter fan, Wizard Rock has never been my forte. Filk has also never really been my forte. It's just
yeah, me neither.
It to me, it's just kind of geeks. To me, Filk is geeks in a room with guitars singing badly.
Right.
Often now, true. Yeah.
I will say I do like the speakeasy feel of this album. There's a couple of songs that really just felt like you were in a bar on in Diagon Alley, and that actually was kind of a nice feeling to it. And I do like Scott's voice. I have some issues with Kristen's, but that's just a preference thing. I do agree that this they get progressively better with the production value of their
albums. I would say the instrumentals on this song were amazing.
Yeah.
I think the production value of the instrumentals was amazing.
Yeah.
This is very much got that singable quality to it, where in live performances I could totally see like Blind Pig.
Yeah.
And I've actually not, you know, truth to be known, at Dragon Con I got to see them perform Blind Pig, and so therefore I got to listen to it and hear it in a group setting. And that's the first song on the album, and that's done by Kirsten, and it very much is in that speakeasy style. And
yeah, I did feel that the first track in particular set that tone that you're talking about. It did feel like, it felt a little bit like Vilkomin from Cabaret.
Yeah.
In that tone of you're coming into something,
yeah,
and something interesting is going to happen, and whether it's your thing or not, something interesting happened.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. My favorite track was Rocket and Groot.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done. Leads with Scott, and then Groot was Kirsten, and I thought that was my favorite of it. For sure.
Interestingly enough, I'm with Tiff that the last track,
Kiss in the Rain,
was my favorite, and I also have not seen the movie that it's on.
You've not seen Fantastic Beasts.
Nope. Haven't seen it, so
we drug her to it. So
yeah, she did see it.
I saw it. I just didn't remember.
I saw that whole movie and I forgot it like the second I walked to the theater. It was that memorable to me.
Right.
But, yeah. But no, I agree that the production value was really high, and I liked it. And like Carol, I'm not into Filk. It's not my thing. I don't like comedy music as a rule, whether it's geek centric or not. Like Old Eddie from Ohio was never my thing. That just wasn't, it's not my vibe. I like it live and in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like seeing Mikey Mason at cons and at the Geek Gala because it's fun and he's up there doing it and you're with a whole bunch of people.
You can get the vibe where sometimes when it's recorded, you don't have that energy flowing through.
It's right. Different in your car.
Yeah. Well, and it's different. A studio take is different because there's nothing for the artist to feed off of if there's somebody who feed off of that response.
But these guys were super clean
and
really clever. The Rocket and Groot song was really, it was really smart.
Yes.
A lot of times you get geek tie-ins or comedy tie-ins and they're reaching.
Yeah.
But it's these really guys even get meta and call, like the Rocket and Groot song in particular, mentions, nah, that sucked. That didn't even rhyme.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was that definite. I think the one that was the one that took me most out of the vibe of Fantastic Geeks and Where to Find Them, although I enjoyed it, was the Silver Moon song.
Oh, I hated that.
Yeah, that.
I hated it.
The little water thing. It was cutesy, but it wasn't with the rest of the tone of the song, the album. So that one was a little bit. I think at one point we were driving in the car when we listened to this, and I was like, no, I need to stop for a second because it just took me out of the whole vibe. And then we went back and listened to it, and it was fine. I was also prepared for what was coming.
You out of the moment, and I want to say, Chuck Parker, that was not on you. It was, it was mostly just the little skit beforehand, before the music actually started. And then I'm not a huge fan of the song "Silvery Moon" anyway. So
yeah, didn't like anything about that track.
Yeah.
Didn't think it fit on the album. Didn't care for the. I don't care for the song to start with either. Right. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Love you.
Yeah.
But. Actually, I've never met them. I'm sure they're wonderful people. But, yeah, could have been a 12 could have been a 12 track album
and been like just fine. Said, and yeah, it
been
fine.
I think been significantly improved.
Or if that song had been at the end at like a bonus track where you understand it wasn't part of the whole theme,
like after 8 minutes of silence.
Yeah, there you go.
Where like, do you remember when cassettes used to do that? Where
the ladies did it on Rock Spectacle on their CD,
and so did Natalie Imbruglia. Where like you'd forget.
Wait, she had a whole CD. I thought she just had that one song.
No, she had a whole CD, and I will say the whole CD was actually good. She was an Australian performer, so therefore
she probably still is.
Well, yeah, but she was actually a soap star in Australia, and then she went and did the CD, and then she came back and she did tour and stuff like that. Not
with Hasselhoff, I think.
Yeah. Shut up. But anyway,
never big enough to tour with the Hoff.
But
come on.
But back in the days when I had a cassette player in my car, and I actually had one of the ones that auto flipped for you.
Yeah.
So you did. So it didn't like eject out, and so you would just wait for it to auto flip. And the first couple times, whenever I'd get to the dead air, I'd just hit fast forward until it flipped, and then it would go back. And one time I forgot because I was looking where I was going or something, you know, weird like that when you're driving. And all of a sudden this song, all of a sudden this song just came on in the middle and scared the crap out of me. But anyway,
I think Andy Burkell did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some hidden bonus tracks. Yeah. Just to see if you're really listening. Yeah.
It was a good like 15 seconds before.
No, this was like 2 minutes before this would go on because the one side would be longer than the other. But anyway.
So back to the blibbering humdingers.
No, so.
Oh, yeah.
So Matt.
They probably have a longer discography than Natalie Imbruglia.
I think they actually do. Because I'm not quite sure. I think this may be their fourth or fifth album.
Yeah, well, and like Scott had his albums that were much before that. So, all right.
But were they released in Australia?
You know what? I'm sure somebody in Australia has listened to them because they're on Bandcamp.
So Australian listeners, be sure to write into the show and say, yes, we fucking love the Blibbering Humdingers.
Info at guardiansofthegeekery.com.
And who is this Natalie Imbruglia person? Because I'm 23 listening to your podcast and I don't know who this person is.
Yeah. Matt.
Yes. Hello.
Blibbering Humdingers.
Yeah. I thought overall it was good. I am kind of weird. I don't care for when somebody mixes either a vocal or a drums or a guitar ahead of the rest of the music a lot. And I kind of felt that Kirsten was kind of her vocals and a lot of them, her sound was way in front of the rest of the music to me.
And so it didn't blend as well. For
yeah. You. Just to me. And I have some strange hearing, so it could be part of it too. But
I think I know what you're talking about.
Just like
she was just a little heavy.
Yeah, a little in front of the track in there. And there have been a few bands that I really liked that for some odd reason, like the drums would be too much in front or something like that, and it just kind of it takes me out of the whole enjoyment of it. But overall, I thought it was a good album. Yeah, Rocket and Groot was cute.
That being said. Mm-hmm. If you had to pay for the album, which you certainly could. Oh, you did?
I did. I bought it.
Okay.
And I'm not unhappy to have bought it.
Okay. Tiffles?
I have not bought it.
Would you buy it?
Yeah, I think I would. I did enjoy quite a few of the songs, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not, because this is just not my type of...
Right.
If I did, it would be one of those things where I'm throwing... Supporting a group that I know and I've contracted.
Would you put this in your rotation for your music?
Probably. Because
it's not your style.
It's not my style.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to run out and buy their back catalog.
Right.
But I'm not.
Having listened to this one.
Having listened to it. There's a couple of tracks I'll put in my Amazon Music playlist for the car.
Yeah. I would pay for Rocket and Groot, and I probably will. I'll probably donate for that. And put that in there, and maybe Kiss in the Rain, because I did go back and listen to it a second time. I listened to all the tracks a second time, and so maybe Blind Pig. Definitely put those in there. I really like Scott's vocals, and I found myself more, and maybe it's just me being the kind of person I am, more drawn to songs that he was the lead singer on. It was more my vocal styling.
Yeah, I'd probably buy 3 or 4 of the tracks. So
okay,
yeah.
Was the Little Lego Loki the one that you liked, Tiff? Was that the Seven Nation Army?
It might have been.
I think so.
Yeah, it did have that feel.
Because I would put that in the on. you know, I just canceled XM Radio because I plug my phone in when I drive, and I've got playlists built on Amazon and built on iTunes. Yeah, yeah, I'd add that to my playlist too.
Yeah, it was a good song.
So the second album that we listened to was Elegiac's Repose. That's done also by friends of ours, Valentine Wolf. But it is in our con circuit, a group that we would see a lot, and we would see their stuff. So this one was a kind of deeply personal one. Valentine Wolf describes himself as Victorian chamber metal. Braxton plays a electronic bass as well as a regular bass. And then Sarah is a vocalist. And so it tends to be her vocals and his music. And then they usually have a drum kit or
they
something
backing
in that. Yeah. Although I do think that some of the numbers they had more than just a backing, and it did sound like some of the numbers they did have some vocals, but on the credit list on Bandcamp, they didn't list if there was anybody with additional tracks in the back. But Brax and Sarah from Greenville, South Carolina, and this album came out in August of 2017 in advance of Dragon Con. And it is positive death music. So it has to do in and around the concept of death, and it was inspired in part by a death they had in their own family. So they've always been kind of, I mean, they had a whole album that was Edgar Allan Poe. They had a whole album that was, you know, they have, so the difference with this one, I understand Fantastic Beasts was technically thematic, but the song styles changed throughout. Mm-hmm. And I would say with Valentine Wolf, this was crystal clear thematic.
It was almost a concept album.
Yeah. It was a concept album, and it sustained the concept pretty much the entire time. Yeah. And the music styling was similar the entire time. There was one song that I found to be musically a different vibe, and I didn't mind it, but it was definitely a different song than the rest, and that was the one that was hold on a second, I'm pulling up the track in front of me because I had to switch between the two. This is a 9-track album, although track number 6, which is Death and the Maiden, is 12 and a half minutes.
That's
long.
Probably my favorite song on the album.
It's gorgeous.
Porcelain Creature was the one where she does kind of the back whispering about being broken and cracked and stuff like that, and had a very different feel, but I liked it.
Yes,
but that was that. And then theirs also ended with a song with the word kiss in the title,
Last Kiss.
Yes. But it was called Last Kiss instead of Kiss in the Rain. And so this is also available on Bandcamp, so if you're a member of Bandcamp, you can listen to it, and then you can purchase if you'd like. Thoughts on the album? Why don't we start with Matt this time?
I love it. From I still look at the image that somebody chooses for their cover, even if it's not a... I grew up in the age of albums where I love those big pull-out...
liner
notes. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
All that stuff.
I would spend hours on the...
Yeah.
lying across so awesome. The bed looking at album covers.
Yeah, and it's like, I think, you know, I think that's one reason I like John's books, too. It's like when you see the ebook covers, too, it's like I kind of get a picture. You do a good job kind of picking those out.
Clear-cut
so
vibe, yeah.
Yeah, but I love the production value. I mean, I won't say it's not the same as Operation Mindcrime from Queensryche, but it's talking about thematic. That's one of my favorite albums ever, and I'll just go back to it. I won't listen to it like for a year, and I just love it, and I think this album will be kind of the same, even though it's a darker type of thing. But
Did I ever tell you I've seen Queensryche in person?
You did.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm trying to rub your nose in it.
Yeah.
For $15.
But I mean, I love the production value. And part of that, too, is I remember seeing a couple posts here and there in my different feeds for social media when they'd be like, oh, we're trying this. And I mean, I love the double layering for a lot of these things. And yeah, if you've never seen Valentine Wolf live, you've got to see Braxton play that fucking...
He plays the hell out of that stuff.
It is very heavy metal. If you don't think a guy could bang his head while playing an upright bass, you've never seen Braxton play.
He will prove your ass wrong.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Even I've seen him in person, and they have like a great energy, I would say.
Yeah.
My 75-year-old dad dad liked Valentine Wolf when he went to the gala. I mean, that's seriously. Yeah. And I was like, okay, great, Dad. Yeah.
So what did you think, Tiffany?
Again, I will mirror what I said last time and that this is not my type of music, but I would say I would more gravitate towards this than the other naturally. With that said, I did not like it as much as the Blibbering Humdingers. I say this with, as Howard Stern would say, with peace and love. Sarah's voice doesn't do it for me, which is, you know, a huge part of the production of these songs.
Right.
The music I like. So, like, the music for me right off the bat with Sin Eater made me think of, if you guys have seen the movie Melancholia by Lars von Trier at the very beginning.
Why do I watch his
movies?
It's
like silent, silent, silent. Then all of a sudden there's this like hardcore heavy metal. And I thought it was amazing the way that was done. Anyway, it reminded me of that. So I like right from the bat, I liked it. I would say my favorite song was Softly Shall You Sleep. But probably because that was, I think, Sarah's, where she didn't. I just tend not to gravitate towards super high voices at a consistent level.
So Sarah's voice quality is similar to something like
Evanescence,
yeah. Amy Lee, or Sarah Brightman, somebody mm-hmm. like that, because they both have degrees in music. Mm-hmm. Braxton is his day job, plays with a symphony orchestra. And you can really tell that this is more than just somebody who has a natural singing ability. These are people who are trained in their craft, and both can do really well, but I think that the craftsmanship of this music is something that I really appreciated. And I would say of their albums that I've listened to, and I've listened to them all, this is my favorite of theirs.
Yeah, same here. I've been listening to Valentine Wolf since they've kind of been on the concert.
You kind of helped them get yeah. on the concert.
I kind of signed them to their first convention. So
again, Carol.
Yeah, so I've been listening to them since their first little EP came out when they first did Con Carolinas. And I think they've gotten progressively better with each album that they've done. And I think this is my favorite. I do love Death and the Maiden. This is more my musical style.
Right.
I am a little goth girl at heart. So.
Yes, you are. But you wear colors. And that's what I appreciate about
that,
you.
That explains
I came from work. I
explains
can't.
The red flannel.
Yeah.
I came from work.
No, I was thinking the purple hair.
But. Well, yeah. My only criticism of the album, because I do actually really love it, I really wish they would do an album with just the bass and Sarah, because sometimes I think the backing tends to overpower a little bit, particularly Braxton's playing. It tends to overpower.
Yeah, that the backing overpowers Braxton.
Yeah, overpowers Braxton.
Right. I think that Braxton is one of those individuals that he is so amazingly skilled and blows me away. But I think that maybe he doesn't allow himself to give himself credit for how good he plays.
Yeah.
And so the backing is his blanket, his safety blanket. And I can understand that. But I love Sarah's voice. One of the things that I found, so the first time we listened to it all the way through, I bought it through the Kickstarter. So
did I.
One of the things that I will tell you is if you go out and buy this album with the option to get the morning cards, because
yes.
it is amazing. They have these beautiful little graphic postcards of sepia-toned images with lyrics on the back of the songs. And it really enhances that whole concept album
nice.
Feel because yeah. if, as you're talking about with the, and you saw them too, like
oh,
the
yeah.
album covers and stuff like that really does get you in that mindset. When we listened to it the first time, it was so in the zone music that I listened to it again a second time because it didn't jar me at all. Like it didn't take me out of the moment. And I felt like maybe I was kind of floating along the top of the song and not really hearing it. So I listened to it again today in preparation for this while reading the lyrics. And I think that gave me much more like that childhood lying across the bed with the album cover
yeah.
feel.
Oh yeah.
And that took me to a much deeper place and that's what really made me love it. My favorite song was Sin Eater. because I love the mix of lyrics to the words. Death and the Maiden, I liked, but it was so much. And once you read the lyrics, it was like I was too much in the deep end, and I needed to kind of swim towards the other shore for a little while.
Needed the shallows.
Yeah. But I also liked Porcelain Creature because I loved what Sarah did vocally at the beginning. I loved the kind of mixture of rap in there. It was a cool song. So
I know these guys as well, and love Braxton and Sarah, and haven't listened to their music before. I had seen them I've seen them play a little at cons. I've seen Braxton do his late night storytelling thing with Tally Johnson, which is fantastic. If you get a chance to see the two of them work, where Braxton plays and Tally tells ghost stories at conventions, it's pretty badass. And you know, I've seen them around and seen them play little hallway gigs or whatever at Dragon, but hadn't listened to a whole album before, and it was exactly what I thought it was going to be coming in. It was, well, I mean, hell, if someone tells you it's Victorian chamber metal, you kind of know what you're getting, and it was as advertised. It's not the kind of music I typically gravitate to, which, for the record, anything without a banjo is probably not something I typically gravitate to.
Then Dave Tyberg. You'll have to come back for that one, yeah.
Oh, no. You guys do Tuatha Dé, and I'll be back.
Okay.
You guys do Tuatha Dé, and I'm in. But I really enjoyed it. I thought that this would be really good writing music.
Yeah.
And I was right. I kind of lost the first listen because I was like, yeah, I can jam some words to this. And I did.
Yeah.
And then I went back and listened to it again. Last Kiss was my favorite.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in there, both emotionally and musically. And I just thought that the whole album hit a lot of truth.
Yeah.
And was really brutally honest. So
if musicians had a Horcrux, this would be theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Braxton and Sarah now won't ever die because this is the phylactery.
Yeah.
So they're going to be, well, I guess.
They've been saved to the library, is the Doctor Who
is
fans.
Is the plural of lich lichen?
Let's say that it is because I like so. It.
I think it is. Yeah.
I think it is, actually.
Yeah.
Which is.
Yeah,
so like if you're a wizard and you stick your soul, if you're a wizard and two of you stick your souls in a phylactery, you become moss. All right, so if Braxton and Sarah, well, if Sarah is fuzzy the next time we see her, Braxton's
well,
always
and moss fuzzy. And moss tends to grow on graves, and yes, graves are in cemeteries, and we're so, talking about death.
All right, so these guys have now turned into fungus. Good job, guys.
Fun guys. No.
But I really liked it. Just like with the last album, I bought it. And I'm not unhappy to have bought it. I'm not going to add a whole lot of this into my driving music mix because this isn't very much the rock out with the windows down kind of jams.
Keep you awake jams. No. This one, I mean, this one is more of a, you know, keep you mellow.
But it's very good. It's great music to write to. I like to write to a lot of Lindsey Stirling and a lot of stuff like that, and this will definitely go in the rotation on that playlist.
So would you buy it? You did.
I did. Yeah. And
I did too.
And I will
Kickstarter too.
I will go back and buy more of their work.
Yeah. I think I have all of it. I love their Edgar Allan Poe album as well.
If you get a chance, I mean, they do Kickstarters to basically back their albums, and if you check their Kickstarters, they usually come with really great little extras. This one came with the morning cards. The Edgar Allan Poe album came with a book.
Yeah.
I want them to have swag on their website, though.
I know. They do need more swag.
You guys need a Tee Public store. If you guys are listening to this, just put
or
your
a Threadless
shit up.
Or Red.
They did actually. Yeah, they did do a t-shirt places. With this Kickstarter because I got the t-shirt.
Yeah, but I'm gigantic. Yeah. So it needs to be on one of those same shops here. Where y'all don't have to stock a bunch of giant
Amen,
fat
brother
ass
Ben.
T-shirts.
Yeah, I love your t-shirts because of that. So
yeah, you can get the Falstaff Book shirts up to a 5X.
Yeah. Well, yes. You're going to hear. Well, that's the way Geek Gala, you can do through a 5X because big people. We know our peoples and we know their sizes, but you know, we also do through a small.
Yeah.
So young children can wear
there
it.
Are we little geeks.
Yeah. But yeah, So definitely do that. I will tell you, we are about to release a fun t-shirt. Be looking for that.
Yeah.
If you like Valentine Wolf, they're part of it.
All right.
And I kind of stole, you inspired me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Usually those words are uttered in a court of law.
John made me.
Now, that would be
it.
You influenced me. You influenced me. But this was you inspired me. I'd been thinking and tossing it around anyway. But, you know, for the gala this year, I can tell you. Can I spoil a little bit? And then
no, wait till we get the actual design done.
Well, it's done. I got it.
No, fuck it. Go for it. I want to know.
Go for it.
All right. Well, by the time it comes out, it'll be 2 days from now. So, yeah. So, for our musical guests at the gala, we have 5 musical guests this
Jesus
year.
Jesus Buddha.
I know. So we have DJ Spider, who will be spinning Sweet. For us.
She's making her second appearance in one of my books this week. I just wrote her into another book this week because I have a giant crush on Spider. I think she's beautiful and just fantastic and incredibly talented and 9 feet tall.
Yeah. I love standing next to her because as a woman who's 5'10 myself and when I used to wear heels was 6'3", she was always taller than me. So it was always nice. It's kind of like dating Matt being 6'3". It's always nice to be the short person in the relationship. I was married to a 5'9 guy the first time around. 5'7 guy. Yeah. Anyway.
That, you know, he Carol, gets shorter Carol could with do every... that. Carol could do that and still be the short one in the relationship.
5'7. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway. So we have DJ Spider. And then we have Madison Matricula Roberts. Who will be doing the Friday night nerd music campfire. And then she'll be performing at the Muggles Market during the day. Valentine Wolf is coming back. Yay. We just signed them this week. They originally weren't going to be able to perform because Braxton had like a real life job performance he had to do, which he was excited and we were excited when they realized that they had moved the date. So we're like, yay. And then we have Mikey Mason coming back Valentine Wolf and Mikey Mason have been our two musical guests of we've also had Blibbering Humdingers and Hawthorne and Holly, but Valentine and Mikey have been headliners. And then Extraordinary Contraptions, who go by, sometimes they get called ex-cons. So we have a spider, a wolf, a clown, a mason, and some ex-cons walk into the Geek Gala. Stroll into the Geek Gala because it's a steampunk thing.
I can definitely see that in like an Abbey Road thing too.
Yeah. I kind of need that to happen. So Mikey, if you're listening, if you want to do a sketch of that, if anybody wants to do a sketch of that, that would be awesome. But yeah, that totally is like a thing now. So look for that t-shirt coming soon.
And Spider, if you're listening, you have to be Dazzler for the Geek Gala.
Okay, I'll put that request in.
With roller skates.
Okay, I have to check to see if they'll allow that on their nice marble and wood floors. This is not a convention hall.
She'll be on a stage.
Yeah, she'll be on the side of the stage. Mm. Yeah, so it'll be cool.
And her in roller skates is literally like LeBron James height.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell her no.
She won't hear them. They'll be like, no.
What? I can't hear you.
Yeah. So we're very excited about that. And then, of course, Rich Siegfried's coming back and you'll be there.
And I'll be there.
So we're very excited. So that's our review for Music Week. Next week, we'll be doing TV Week with the show from Hulu, Marvel's The Runaways.
Ooh.
We'll be talking about that. All of us will have watched at least the first 3 episodes and
discussed. I've watched all 10.
I'm almost to 10, but
just hit just keep recording. We'll put a cut in the middle. I just finished the 10th episode.
No, because I don't think Tiffles has watched it yet. So
oh my God, I love that show.
Yeah,
I also love those comics.
The comics were fantastic.
Yeah, so we will be talking about that next week, and we'll also have Brandon and Tanya Kelly from Robot Johnson and Brandon Ballard. So we're very excited. Episode 202-01. But John, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
The second
always.
Guest in our new podcast studio.
It's very cool.
Thank you for remembering us little people now that you're all like elbow brushing with Whoopi Goldberg.
So. I bet Matt Starnes has been called a lot of things in his life, but little has.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So with that, we're out. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.